First Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. I'm just going to read the first two verses. Well, maybe the first three. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul wrote to Timothy and said these words, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, our Father, we ask for your presence. We ask, God, for your Spirit to give us encouragement this morning. God, we've got all we need to make us bleak. All we've got to do is read the morning paper, watch the news on television, hear the conversations at the store and the places we attend. And Father, there's enough to discourage us and make us throw up our hands and quit. And I pray this morning, God, you just give us that ray of light. Father, we don't want to glorify these folks we're going to present and talk about, but Father, we want to be encouraged to know that there's folks just like us that want to see our nation turned around, that want to see our country come to God, that are sick and tired of the direction that we're going in and the sinfulness of our nation. And Father, they're doing what they can in the place you've put them in to try to get things changed and turned around. And Father, I pray that through this morning, you would encourage we that are here, encourage us, Father, to remember these folks in prayer. And Lord, not just these are just a sampling this morning. There are several others, many others, of like faith and like belief, just like these we're going to talk about. And Father, Washington, D.C. has them, and God, we need to lift them up in prayer and ask for your blessing. And Father, ask for you to keep them strong and keep them faithful in spite of the surroundings they're in spite of the pressures that they're under. Father, bless us this morning. I pray, God, that through me you would pass on the tremendous blessing that we received while in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. Help us to remember these folks in prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said that we're to pray. And he said in verse 2 that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Folks, that's very convicting for you and I. We have no trouble praying for those we like. We have no trouble praying for those we agree with. But that's not what God told us to do, is it? He said to pray for all. To pray for all. You know, maybe wickedness exceeds and maybe wickedness excels because we're not doing our job in praying. I mentioned to you a sermon Brother Sowell preached about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we would say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their homosexuality. And without a doubt, that was a sin that caused God to say he was going to rain judgment down upon them. But then Abraham bargained with God. You remember the story. Abraham bargained with God and said, "God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare the city?" And God said, "If there's 50, I'll spare it. If there's 45, if there's 40. He got God down, all the way down to 10. And God said, "If there's 10 righteous in that city, I will not destroy it in spite of their terrible sin." When God could not find 10, fire and brimstone rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Now the question is, why did God destroy it? We'd say, well, because of their sin. No, he destroyed it because there weren't 10 righteous. There weren't 10 good people. America is a sinful nation right now. We are, and I'm not even going to go into those things. We're going a wrong direction, a terrible direction. We say, well, God ought to judge America. Well, if he does, it's not because of the sin. It's because of lack of saints. It's because we're not doing our job. And so I want to encourage you to recognize there are some people this morning that are doing the good job in Washington, D.C. And we gave you a handout. I tried to get one to everybody, and I think everybody's got one. It's got the names of all these folks that we're going to show you and talk to you about this morning. Again, for time's sake, I've never done anything like this, so I don't know how it's going to go. We're going to try to move around. I'll keep my eye on the clock that we get out at our regular time. But I want you to be encouraged by what you see and the people you're going to meet by way of this. You say, well, Pastor, some of these people are most of them are from states other than ours. That's all right. Pray for them anyways. Because as you hear about them, you're going to know they can make some changes, and some of them already have. We went to Capital Connection in Washington, D.C. on March 11th and 12th. And there are many different aspects of the meeting there. One of the great parts was the church service Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Every night we went to church at 7 o'clock, had two preachers every night. Wonderful, just beautiful singing by the choirs and by special groups. It was a blessing, and it was all patriotic kind of, it was spiritual music. One song was called Turn the Tide, Lord, Turn the Tide, and talking about our nation, and it was a wonderful, wonderful song. I wish we had a recording of it, but it's not available yet. But we had great church services. Dr. David Gibbs preached to us on Monday night. Also, Brother Chuck Harding preached on Monday night. On Tuesday, Dr. Don Strange from Florida and Dr. Paul Chappell from Lancaster, California. Then Wednesday night, Pastor Creed of Independent Baptist Church, where we met. And then Brother Rick Sowell, our friend from Toledo, Ohio, all preached on those three different services. That was a great thing. The second great thing was that we got to go into the house, the offices of all 535 congressmen. If you've ever been to D.C., the senators' buildings are on one side of the Capitol, and the representatives are on the other side. The representatives have three buildings that they're in: the Longfellow, or the Longworth, the Rayburn, and the Coburn. I think are their three buildings. The Senate had two buildings. 535 total representatives or congressmen, and we went into every one of those offices and gave them that book about the prayers that shaped our nation. And you saw that book here Wednesday night as I gave one to Brother Griffiths. We got to give them to all 535 representatives. Sonia and I were privileged to go into seven different offices. Because there weren't enough preachers to cover all of them, we grabbed some other ones, and we went into seven different offices and met with the people. Most of the time, the congressman or the senator wasn't there, but we met with the clerks and gave it to them, gave them New Testaments, let them know that people back in their home states were praying for them, just tried to be an encouragement to them. And so that was the goal of it, to do that. On top of that, we got to meet these 18 folks that you see listed on the paper this morning. On Tuesday, six of them spoke to us in the basement of the Capitol building. Now, when I say basement, you'll see a picture of it. It's the Congressional Auditorium in the Capitol of the United States of America. And then the second day, we met in the same building in a different room that was a smaller room. We had 450 in the first meeting, 250 in the second, and people lined up and packed out the doors because there were so many of us. But we got to hear these different men speak. So many different aspects of that meeting that were a blessing, and we just want to share that with you here this morning. All right, this is Sonia and I in front of the Capitol. I think hopefully this works together. This is Sonia and I in front of the Capitol building that Wednesday. As we went, and in the briefcase I had all those books and New Testaments and tracts that we gave to the senators and representatives. And again, Sonia and I want to express our thanks to you as Bible Baptist Church for paying our motel bill and our fuel to get there and back. The church there fed us a bunch of meals, so that was kind of taken care of. But we appreciate you enabling us and allowing us to go as representatives for Bible Baptist Church. It was held at the Independent Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland. Pastor Mike Creed and Pastor Creed stood there and told us their church sits exactly 11 miles from the Capitol building. That's why God has given them that ministry of Awake America to reach our Capitol, because they're that close in proximity, only 11 miles. Brother Creed and Brother Harding go into Washington, D.C. very regularly. They have an office down. They have an office right around the corner from the Supreme Court that they have established so that they can work out of that office and meet with congressmen and pray with them and talk with them and counsel them. And so they've got a wonderful ministry there. You see also the book that we presented to all 535 of our congressmen. Last year, again, it was the Aiken Bible that we presented to them. This year, it was that book on prayer, and we talked about it Wednesday night. Prayers of the Pilgrims, prayers of of the Patriots, prayers of preachers of the Great Awakening, prayers of presidents. Our presidents have prayed. And so there's no such thing as a separation of church and state. That's a concoction of the liberal media today. That was not something in the Constitution, obviously not in the Declaration of Independence, not in any official legal documents. It's just a catchphrase that's got everybody's attention, and it has no legal background. They pray in Congress every morning before they start. There's a chaplain for the Congress of the United States of America. When you walk in the building, it says, "In God we trust," right on the banner overhead. So there's no such thing as separation of church and state in the context of the way people are using it today. And yet to us it's taught as if it were fact. On Tuesday morning we went in. And again, we'll go down through the list and you can see where we're at and how close we are. Every Wednesday morning there are 100 of our congressmen that meet together for prayer. This is a voluntary prayer meeting. This is not a public thing. Nobody even knows it's going on. But these men and women, as their schedules allow, meet in a room, and they meet together on Wednesday, 100 out of 535. That's 20%. I'd be thrilled if we had 20% of Byesville in church here this morning. We wouldn't have enough room for everybody. 20% of our congressmen are meeting every Wednesday morning for prayer for God's direction in our nation. I think that's a wonderful blessing and an exciting thing to consider. The first man that spoke to us, and this is Representative Jeff Duncan, and he's from South Carolina. And as he spoke to us at that meeting, he began the meeting in prayer, and he is a Christian man from South Carolina. Some of these southern states are very strong in their Christianity. He led us in prayer and prayed for the preachers. They were excited to see 250, 260, I haven't gotten the final number, but they were excited to see that many preachers come in and be there in Washington, D.C. They see the protesters. And we saw them also. We saw lots of them standing out, walking up and down with placards and boards. And one guy had a box over his head. I mean, all kind of weird and wacky stuff. They're used to seeing that. What they're not used to seeing now, they've seen for 2 years in a row, is a bunch of people that are just coming for one thing, to pray for them and pray with them and encourage them in the things of God. And they appreciated that. Our meeting with our congressman, you'll see in a minute, that Sonia and I met, was scheduled for 15 minutes at 2:45 to 3 o'clock. It was originally scheduled at 2:30, but he had to be on Fox News at 2:30, so I guess we had to allow him to be on national television and put us off for just a few minutes. And at 2:45, he came in, and we had such a good time of fellowship and prayer that he didn't leave until 2. We didn't get out till 3:30. From quarter to 3 till 3:30, a 15-minute appointment went 45 minutes, and his aides came in and said, "Your 3 o'clock appointment is still waiting." They were a half hour late getting in. But Mr. Johnson just said, I enjoy this. I look forward to this. I appreciate that. And we'll talk more about him in a moment. Representative Jeff Duncan from South Carolina that opened us in prayer. After him was Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri. Senator Roy Blunt talked to us. He is a graduate of Southwest Baptist University in Missouri. The graduate of Southwest Baptist University. Now, I gave you this sheet not only to give you the names, but if you want to jot down some of these things to remind you later, it'll be a blessing to you. If you pray for them, which I hope you will, take this as kind of prayer list, and remember who these fellows are. You'll see them on the news. You'll see them making speeches and different things. And it'll be great to, when you see them, go back to your list and say, "That's one of ours. That's one of our people. That's one of our men. That's one of our women." Senator Roy Blunt graduated from Southwest Baptist University in 1970, and in fact became the president of Southwest Baptist University from 1993 to 1996 before he felt God leading him into politics. Now, you know how I feel about that. I said that with Governor Mike Huckabee. To walk out of the preacher's desk to go into politics is taking a step down. But if these fellows feel that God is directing them in that direction, we need men in that position. And so here's one of those men that have felt that from, and again, we're not talking about a loose affiliation to Christianity. The president of a Baptist university, Bible college, now a senator from Missouri. He's one of ours. He's one of God, the fellows that's like us. This is Representative James Lankford, the redheaded fellow. He's with Dr. Chuck Harding. Brother Harding, of course, he'll be with us here in August, I believe. But he's the fellow that put on Awake America. And this is Representative James Lankford. He is the first one of the speakers. He was the second one that came in with a Bible in his hand. I mean, he knew his crowd. He knew he was meeting with, and he came in with a Bible in his hand. He told us he got saved, and I always love it when you hear a congressman say the word saved. He got saved when he was 8 years old. And he spent 22 years as a youth pastor in a Baptist church. 22 years as a, John, 22 years. He doesn't even look old enough to have done that. But 22 years as a youth pastor in a Baptist church, again, before he felt like God was leading him. And a lot of these the things that directed them into politics, we don't have time to share with you, but a lot of these guys and ladies can show the things that led them that direction. Here's a fellow that came in with the Bible, and he spoke to us, he said, here's a quote I wrote down that he said. He said, Washington, D.C. reflects our nation, but the churches affect our nation. And I like that. Washington, D.C. reflects our nation. It's a reflection of the people that put those folks into office. But the church affects our nation. We need to have a greater effect. And these men that spoke to us, especially these with our kind of background, that's what they encouraged us to do, is to have a greater effect in our nation, in our communities, and in the people around us. So this is Representative James Lankford from Oklahoma. Next is William J. Murray. He's not a senator. He's not a congressman. He's not a representative. He is the chairman of the Religious Freedom Coalition. He said about Washington, D.C., he said, my main purpose in D.C. is to advance the cause of Christ. I forget, I wrote it down, but I forgot which fellow said it, so I'll give it out as an anonymous quote, but one of these men said, I'm not here to represent the GOP, the NRA, or the Heritage Foundation. I'm here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought that's not that he doesn't represent some of the others, but I thought that's a blessing, that God is first. And many of these folks presented that way. William Murray, again, the chairman of the Religious Freedom Coalition, there to advance the cause of Christ. He is an activist, as we would say. And he goes into the president, and he goes into other men, and he talks about Christian causes. And he's there to represent the Christian people of America in the capital of Washington, D.C. Now, the most unique thing about him, William Murray, is the son of Madeline Murray O'Hare. He got saved in 1980. He wrote his book in 1995, which I just read this week, My Life Without God. And I would challenge you, if you're a reader, you want to read that. When I got it on my Kindle magazine, it refers to it as a classic. It was written in 1995 with an update in 2011, but it's called My Life Without God. And if you want an inside picture of the life of an atheist, you read that book. It'll change your viewpoint. It'll change your mentality, and you won't be afraid of an atheist. You'll pity them. They are dysfunctional. And I'm not just talking about her. He talks about the whole organization. He grew up that way. But in 1980, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And now he's the head of the Christian Coalition of America. What a blessing it was to sit there. And I took that picture from where I was sitting, so that shows you how close we are. Sonia and I were in the second row that day. What a blessing it was to hear a story of a man like that with the most difficult background you could ever imagine. A manipulative mother, a father that was I won't tell you the story, but if anybody could have come out bad, it would have been him. And yet here he is. And so what a blessing it was to hear from and we call him Bill Murray, but there's a comedian or actor by that name, so we say William J. Murray to keep him separate from that one. Then the fifth man that spoke to us on that Tuesday was Representative Joe Pitts from Pennsylvania. I want you to turn in your Bible, you can see it there, to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, Mr. Pitts gave us his life verse, and I thought it'd be interesting for you to see what his life verse is, because it has a lot of depth and a lot of meaning to it. Reverend Joe Pitts from Pennsylvania, his life verse is Psalm 106 and verse number 23. Psalm 106 and verse number 23. Looks like an unusual life verse when you first look at it, but let's think about it. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. In Psalm chapter 106, God's talking about when the children of Israel were departing out of Egypt and murmuring and complaining, sinning against God. And God said, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses, I'm going to wipe them out and make of you a new nation. But Moses, the Bible said, his chosen stood in the breach to turn away his wrath. And Representative Pitts said, that's my job in Washington, D.C., to stand here for righteousness and to stand here for the cause of Christ, praying and hoping that God will turn away his wrath from our nation for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, and their children after them. And so I appreciate Mr. Joe Pitts and what he said to us there that day. And then lastly on that Tuesday, most of you, if you watched the news or if you watched or heard about the big filibuster in the Senate not too long ago, This is Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. He's one of the top candidates on the Republican side for the nomination for president, him and maybe Rand Paul and some other names that are being tossed around, but he's one of the leading candidates for being the president of the United States. You saw in the clip that we showed earlier, that little two-minute video, you saw some men with their hands on his shoulders praying for him. What a blessing that a senator would allow people to put hands on him and pray for him. Ted Cruz, as by his account that he gave us that day, and again, that picture is taken from the second row there in the auditorium, but over near the center section. Senator Ted Cruz, his father is an immigrant from Cuba. His dad came from Cuba to the United States of America and got a job for 50 cents an hour as a dishwasher. And at that 50 cent an hour job, which of course was a few decades ago, his father's an older man, at that 50 cent an hour job, he also paid his own way through the university in Texas. I don't know if I wrote down the right one. Let me see. No, he paid his way through college and got a degree in mathematics. And this is Ted Cruz's father. After he started a business and was very successful in the business, God called him away from the business to be a pastor. And so Ted Cruz is the son of a pastor. He's a pastor's son sitting in the Senate. He is the valedictorian of his senior class from the Second Baptist High School in Houston, Texas. And Mr. Cruz spoke to us, Senator Cruz, and talked to us and gave us his family history and his emphasis on faith and talked about how in his office, how God has called him to stand for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we praise the Lord for these six men that spoke to us that Tuesday downstairs in the Congressional Auditorium. The next day on Wednesday, we went and visited. First thing in the morning, in fact, 8 o'clock in the morning Wednesday, we went into another room, and you'll see it on these other pictures. We went into another room where these next folks spoke to us. And in this smaller room that only seated 250, the first one we heard was Representative Mark Wayne Mullen. Now, that's kind of an unusual first name, Mark Wayne. But it's unusual because he's American Indian by ancestry. And of course, he's a representative from Oklahoma. And Representative Mullen is the one that came in, and what he told us is he's American Indian by birth and Christian by faith. And again, he gave his testimony and gave his record about his faith, and we were encouraged as he spoke the first. It started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was chaotic. We met at the church at 6:45. Every morning we got up before 6 o'clock to be where we had to be and had church till late at night the night before. So we were exhausted when we got home. Got in bed Thursday night when we got home and got up Sunday morning in time for church. Or at least it felt that way. We didn't sleep quite that long. But that morning we got up at 6:45. The buses took us into D.C. on they don't say front and back of the Capitol. They say the water. I can't even remember all my terms. Anyways, the water side, the pool that's out there by the Capitol. They dropped us off on the back side. We had to get around to the front side of the Capitol, down the steps, through security, and you had like 300 people trying to get through security at one time. And so they had to start that meeting at 8 o'clock, so Mr. Mark Wayne Mullen started while we were still filing in because not everybody could get in at the same time as we all tried to get into that room. But he spoke about his faith. Now, the next one is the only lady that spoke to us. And this is Senator Kathy McMorris Rogers from Washington. Kathy McMorris Rogers, married to a 26-year retired Navy pilot, and she spoke to us. She is the fourth highest ranking Republican in Washington, D.C. The fourth highest ranking Republican. That's pretty good for anybody, especially for a woman senator. She is the one, I don't waste my time. I shouldn't have said that. If you listen to the State of the Union address by the president this year, she's the one that gave the Republican response. She was the one chosen by the Republican Party to give the response to President Obama's State of the Union address. She is also a graduate of Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola, Florida. That's one of our schools, so to speak. That's one where the churches we fellowship, that's one of the colleges, not just some generic Bible college. It's one that my daughter-in-law went to, Sarah, that's married to my son, Robert. She went there. My daughter Chris went there right out of high school. So that's one of our, she's a graduate of Pensacola Christian College. So again, that shows us that these people are not just Christian by generic term, not Christian by mouth, but Christian by background and by action. And she talked about her home church and the direction in her life when she got out. She never dreamed she'd end up in politics, and now she's a returning senator from the state of Washington. Next is Representative Reed Ribble. Representative Reed Ribble from Wisconsin. Representative Ribble spoke to us that day and gave us his testimony. He got saved at a young age and attended the Grand Rapids School of the Bible in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Again, a fairly good, if you remember, Evelyn Rogers and, what's Mr. Rogers' name? Ernest. Ernest and Evelyn. Evelyn comes and plays guitar or piano for us every once in a while. Their son was the president of the Grand Rapids School of the Bible there for a little while, the seminary there. And it's a good school. And this fellow went to Grand Rapids School of the Bible, but then felt God calling him in a different direction, so he moved back home to be back in the home of his father, who is a Baptist pastor. And three of his brothers are Baptist pastors. And one of his sons is a Baptist pastor. And this is Reed Ribble of Wisconsin. He is the representative from that state. And I think a fairly new. It was amazing how many of these guys were first-term representatives or senators in Washington, D.C. We need to pray they'll come back. Bill Johnson, I'll get ahead of myself. Bill Johnson said one thing, our congressman, as he's speaking, he talked about term limits. And I don't know about you, but I've always been for term limits. I've always said, yeah, we need to get those rascals out of there. He said, remember this. If we vote in term limits, Kathy McMorris Rogers is out because she's been there for quite a long time. And some of these other guys we're going to talk about are out if we go for term limits. He said, we already have term limits. It's called voting. You vote the bad ones out, but you keep the good ones in. And it was an interesting concept and something new to my way of thinking that we don't want these people out. You know, we want the bad ones out, but if we do that, we throw out the baby with the bathwater. So just something to think about. But Representative Reed Ribble from Wisconsin. The next man that spoke to us, and this is a picture we had to get off the internet because some of my pictures were pretty blurry. This is Robert Pittenger from North Carolina. And he is the representative for his district in North Carolina. And he told us he got saved on November 2nd, 1969. I'd say a guy that gives you the date of his salvation is pretty sure he got saved. November 2nd, 1969, while he was in college. He was a lost young man in college, and he talked about his college years and his friends and what happened when he got saved and some of his other friends getting saved. But when he finished college, he went to work for Campus Crusade for Christ. And again, we wouldn't agree with everything that Campus Crusade for Christ does, but that's a strong Christian organization. And he was the second highest to Bill Bright, the founder of the Campus Crusade for Christ. Now he's sitting in Washington, D.C. in a representative's chair. That is a strong background and a strong faith. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I want to read to you his life verse. You might just jot it down. It's Jeremiah chapter 9. And he said his life verse, and it's actually two verses. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24. And he read these to us, and he said these are his life verses. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's the life verse of Representative Robert Pittenger from North Carolina. Then we heard Representative Bill Johnson. Now the picture was taken not that morning as he spoke, but in his office later that day on Wednesday. In fact, when Mr. Johnson was leaving, I was seated right on the aisle of the auditorium that morning. And as he spoke and was leaving and shaking hands, we got to shake hands there on the way, and I said, I'll be there. I'll see you this afternoon at 2:45. He said, I'm looking forward to it. And again, these men and women, it's a breath of fresh air when folks like this come in. And so we met with him and had our picture taken in his office afterward. Mr. Johnson gave his testimony to the group that was there. He's raised in North Carolina. He's raised in North Carolina by his grandparents. His father was a drunk, abusive. His mother, I don't remember what happened to his mother, but he was placed with his mother's parents in North Carolina. He grew up under their care, no parent. And his grandmother and grandfather lived in North Carolina back in a place where they had no electricity, no running water. They had all those things that older folks talk about that we just kind of hear them talking about. And their house was heated by a potbelly stove that sat right in the middle of the house. He said every evening by the light of a lamp, kerosene or whatever it was, his grandmother's grandfather, as he's a young kid growing up, I mean real young, would sit with the Bible in their lap, reading their Bible every single night as he was growing up, and that made an impression on him later in life. When he was about 8 years old, he got removed from that, and I guess his mother must have come back in the picture because he and his mother moved somewhere else to low-income housing in North Carolina. And he's telling us this story. He would play with all his friends during the week and lots of kids in the low-income area that he lived in that housing project. All these kids, he said, but he noticed on Sunday when he went out to play, none of the kids were around. So he got around to asking them, he said, hey, where was everybody Sunday? And they said, well, there's a blue bus that comes from the Baptist church in town. And we go in there and we have Kool-Aid and we have donuts. So the next Sunday, he was on that blue bus. He's a bus kid. And he got on that bus and he went to church, and after a little while of going to church, he trusted at the age of 8, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. What a wonderful testimony it was. They moved to Ohio, to the Marietta area, lived out in a farm there. And he said years later his grandmother died, and when he went to the funeral, he found out something startling. His grandmother couldn't read. She'd never learned how to read. And yet all the time she sat with that Bible open. So he asked his relatives, he said, if she couldn't read, why? And they said she sat with that Bible on her lap because she knew it was a good book. And she knew it was the right thing to have in her lap. She couldn't read a word, but she had that book in her lap. Representative Bill Johnson, our representative from our 6th district in Ohio. And praise the Lord for someone of that kind of faith that's in that position. We appreciate that. The next fella is Representative John Fleming from Louisiana. Again, there's the picture taken from where I was seated on that second day. The first day, we were in the second row in the bigger auditorium. This is Representative John Fleming. We might say Dr. John Fleming. He's a medical doctor. He was a medical doctor that became a representative. He became the representative from Louisiana because he was appalled by this thing called affordable health care, if you've ever heard of that. As a medical doctor, he saw the disaster that was going to be, and he decided to run for office, and he got elected. And one of his main objectives as a medical doctor in Washington, D.C., as a representative, is to fight Obamacare. And he's trying to point out to people the dangers of it, the fallacies of it, the bad thing. He said one of his other special callings, and a lot of these different fellows have certain things that they target. One of his others was the office of chaplain. He said, our chaplains are under attack. They're being told they can't say this, they can't do that. You might have seen the article recently from the United States Air Force Academy. One of the cadets put on his erase board on the door, he put a Bible verse. I forget which one it was, I saw it. He put a Bible verse on his erase board, and he was made to take it down because it was considered offensive to other people. The military is changing. They've tried to do this before, couldn't get away with it. They're trying again. Prayed to God that they wouldn't be able to get away with it again. But our chaplains are under scrutiny. And what Dr. Fleming pointed out, he said, do we want a chaplain on the battlefield that when a soldier is wounded or dying and says, chaplain, what can I do? Do we want somebody that can say, nothing? There's nothing you can do? Or do we want one to say, put your faith right now in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you cry out to Him and call on Him, He'll save you. So Dr. Fleming said the two things he's interested in is the medical thing and the position of our chaplains, that we would remove any restrictions from them when it comes to Christ. The next fellow we heard, I need to move quickly, this is number 7, a Representative Doug Collins from Georgia. When he came in, folks, he literally preached. He came in there and when he began speaking, he knew his audience, he knew where he was. In fact, he said this to us, he said, I feel like a lion in a den full of Daniels. Now think about that for a moment. Not a Daniel in a lion. He said, coming into all you preachers, I feel like a lion in a den full of Daniels. He was greatly moved and impressed by all of the independent, and again, everybody there was independent, fundamental Baptist preachers that were there. Pastor Creed had told us that some other folks had asked if they could join in his group and participate, and he said they're good people. They preach the gospel. They're so. But he said, our group is for independent fundamental Baptists. They wanted to keep it that way. And so when we were in there, he said, I felt like a lion in a den of Daniels. Representative Doug Collins from Georgia was a Baptist pastor for 11 years before he felt God changing his direction. Now, you hear all these Baptist preachers going into politics. Don't fret. This one's not going to do it. You have no concern about that, or maybe you wish he would. I don't know. But Doug Collins was a Baptist pastor for 11 years down in Georgia, and Chicokee or something like that, Baptist Church. I had the name written down once, but I didn't have it on here. So Doug Collins from Georgia. Next, and you might recognize this fella, along with Ted Cruz. He's one of the more recognizable people. This is Rand Paul, and I had to keep practicing because I kept calling him Paul Rand. All right, his name is Rand Paul, and he's from Kentucky. He spoke about the faith that played a part in his family. One of our pastors from Kentucky is from the area, I think it's the Lexington area, and he and Rand Paul are very close associates, if not friends. In fact, they made a trip to Israel together, and on the plane, this pastor led Rand Paul's son to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they got to tour Israel together, and Rand Paul went to Baptist church youth camps when he was a child growing up. The one thing he said was kind of off the spiritual emphasis, but I wrote this down. 7% of those raised in traditional family homes end up in poverty. 7% of those raised in traditional father, mother, children, 7% end up in poverty. 33% of those raised in non-traditional homes, single parent, no parents, whatever it might, 33% of them end up in poverty. And so his emphasis was on good, strong homes and good, strong churches. And you'll see a lot of Rand Paul, I'm sure, as the election times come around. The next fellow is Chad Conley. He's the fellow in the blue shirt and the yellow tie, a picture taken outside of a building that we were going to there for a meeting for lunch. And this is Chad Conley. Chad Conley was the state Republican Party chairman of South Carolina for many years. He's a Sunday school teacher in a Southern Baptist church. He was taught for many, many years in his Sunday school class, and he's in South Carolina. And he did such a great job in South Carolina that the National Republican Committee asked him to move to Washington, D.C. And he's moved to Washington, D.C., and his ministry, his outreach, is to reach churches for election time. He's the one that told us, that emphasized, that in the last election, 3 million, quote-unquote, evangelicals didn't vote. 3 million professing Christian people didn't vote. If 3 million would have voted, probably the direction they would have tended to go, then we would have a different president than what we've had for the last two terms. And anything would have been better than... I'm getting off key here. Let's continue where we're at. All right, Chad Conley, he's that representative. He's getting ready to post a faith-based website to reach out again to the evangelical, the Christian community for the cause of Christ. So Chad Conley, the representative, and he was a blessing to hear as he spoke to us also. This is Representative Steve King from that meeting on that day. Steve King from Iowa. And he, again, as the others, he talked about his faith. He talked about what we can do to change our nation, and he talked about returning to our heritage, our Christian heritage. In Iowa, they tried two times to pass same-sex marriage while he was a representative there. And the Iowa Supreme Court approved it and voted for the approval of same-sex union. Representative King led the charge. He said, know this, that Supreme Court justices are not appointed for life. Again, we've heard that it's a life appointment. It's not a life appointment. They can be reprimanded. They can be taken out. And Representative King led the charge of the Supreme Court in his state, and three of those Supreme Court justices that voted to legalize same-sex marriage were removed from office by his leadership. And so we can do the same thing in Washington, D.C. We get the right people doing the right thing there, we can get the people out that are leading us in a wrong direction for our nation. So Representative Steve King from Iowa, he said, a young person came up to him once and said, what can I do as a young person? What can I do to help our nation? He said, get married, have lots of kids, and raise them right. He said, the best thing you can do as a young person as you're starting out to head on as Christian people, he said, get married, have lots of kids, and raise them right. That will make the difference and turn the tide in our nation. Representative Steve King. This is Senator Tim Scott. That picture, again, taken from my close view from where we were. You can zoom in a little bit with the camera. I think that was one of them taken by me. Anyways, he's one of two black congressmen, one of only two in Washington, D.C., which makes him a novelty. I don't want to use that word disrespectfully, but use him a novelty. This fella, and you saw a little clip of him at the beginning, this guy walked into that room and he was on fire. I mean, kind of like James Lankford, the redheaded guy from Oklahoma, 22 years a youth pastor. Doug Collins from Georgia, 11 years a pastor. This guy came in, and the minute he got in there, he just took off and started preaching. He knew the crowd he was in. He told us he got saved on September 22nd, 1983. Again, when they give a date and time of their conversion, you can pretty much bank on it. You know they got saved. September 22nd, 1983. He said, we don't need Democrats or Republicans to run our country. We need God. And isn't that the truth? That's exactly what it was. And he preached for a few minutes on 2 Chronicles. You heard it, 7:14. If my people, and only like a black fellow can preach. It was good. If my people, which are called by my name. I could preach like that too if I wanted to. That's good stuff. But he got there and he just preached, and you heard they were amening him. In fact, I think John put a 5-minute clip of that on our Facebook page. If you can get on that and look at it. He put the whole 5-minute thing of Representative Scott preaching there. Again, he's a first-term senator from South Carolina. He's one of the good guys. He's one of those we want to keep in. We have no control over it by voting, but we do have control over it by prayer. And so we need to pray for Representative Tim Scott from South Carolina. And then finally, Representative Robert Aderholt from Alabama. He was the last speaker that we had. My picture turned out real fuzzy, and I didn't want to end up with a fuzzy picture, so we got another picture of him off the Internet. But Robert Aderholt grew up in Alabama. His father was a judge and a part-time Baptist preacher. He pastored the church in town where Robert Aderholt grew up. And again, he's the one that he emphasized our Christian heritage as a nation. We were founded to be a Christian nation, regardless of what anybody else today wants to say. Not all of our founding fathers were born-again Christians. We understand that. But the Bible was the book that birthed America. Protestant religion, faith in Jesus Christ, is the religion that birthed the United States of America. And again, he's the one that pointed out that we have a chaplain in Congress that opens in prayer every session. How ridiculous to say you can't pray in a public school when Congress opens with prayer every day. Now, the thing is, they're going to try to get that removed too, but so far they haven't been able to do it. It's entrenched in Washington, D.C. In God We Trust is over the head of the people that sit there and rule and reign in our country. So these are the men that lead our country, the men and women that are in place of leadership. Now, there were ones that we heard last year, Louis Gohmert from New York and others, that are very strong in faith also. So this is just the beginning. Again, 100 of them meeting every Sunday or every Wednesday for prayer. Folks, we have a light in Washington, D.C. It's not all hopeless. It's not all gloom and doom. It's not all bickering and partisan arguing and politics. There are some people there with the same kind of faith that you and I got. We need to do our job. Our job is to vote for them when we have opportunity. Our job is to pray for them because we have opportunity. I think, and I'm trying to remember if it's next. Uh-oh. Okay. Here's the verse. Here's Chuck Harding with Ted Cruz. And again, the verses we read from 1 Timothy, I exhort that prayers and supplication be given for all men. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. What a blessing it was as all 18 of these people spoke to us, 6 the first day and 12 the next day. At the end of each one speaking, we all bowed our heads and prayed out loud verbally. It was kind of noisy. But everybody's praying at the same time for that particular representative or that particular senator. And then when that was kind of, after a brief time was over, then one of the men from our group would lead all of us in prayer and pray for these different representatives and senators. And in the capital of the United States of Washington, United States of America, in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol building, that was taking place. Men were praying. Men were preaching. Men were giving their testimonies and talking about their faith in Jesus Christ. Where's the little Washington, D.C. thing? On the steps of the Capitol. Do we have that? Okay. At the end, we all gathered at the steps of the Capitol for a picture. You saw a little bit in that brief thing. And while we were standing there, as last year, while we were standing there with just to get a picture taken, this is what happened. I told John, let's just stop it there. Folks, you realize that was going on in the square in front of the Capitol building of the United States of America. We talk about religious freedoms and we're losing our religious freedoms. No, we're not. We can exercise them anywhere we want to, if we want to. You know, even they say you can't pray in a public school. Yes, you can. I remember Carol Casey getting called out when he was young, elementary school. I remember the thing, just bowing his head at lunchtime. And so I think it was, wasn't it Casey? Am I right? Okay. I remember it. If it's not, just go with me, all right? Praying, just praying, bowing and praying for his lunch and being reprimanded, said, you can't pray in the school. And you can. You can do anything you want to. You can carry a Bible into a public school if you want to. They can't force you to take it home. The only problem is we've let people intimidate us to think we don't have the right to do things when we do have them. Here we are, and I wish you could see from where we were standing, looking out the other way. I wish somebody from there would have filmed it out. All the people that came and stood and gathered and listened to us singing, they didn't know what in the world was going on. And people are walking to the Senate buildings and the Supreme Court across the way, and they're hearing, they're turning from half a mile away and turning, looking back to see what's going on over there. We're singing, God bless America, land that I love. We've got a hope. We've got a future. There's something. America's not lost. We've got to reclaim it. We've got to grab what we can. Sonia and I were, when we got done, we're walking down from that, and some young couple came to us, and the young girl said, "Who are you people?" And I said, "Well, we're just a bunch of Baptist pastors." She said, "I knew you're Baptist. You started singing. I heard an old Victory in Jesus. That's a Baptist national anthem." She said, "I recognize that. We're Baptists too." And so it was encouragement to people. People were stopping and recording, filming, all that kind of stuff. Don't give up hope. I know it looks dark. I know it looks bleak, but there's still some light, even in the darkest place of Washington, D.C. Will you pray for these folks? Will you pray for them that God would help them? It's got to be tough. I prayed with Bill Johnson as I was praying. I said, God, protect him. Put a hedge around about him. This culture, this whole environment is so seductive to get you just to go along and fit in and to be a Christian is to stand out. Pray for these folks that they'll do that. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing a song, a real quick song. Let's sing. We don't need the piano. We'll just do it ad lib. Let's all stand together. And let's sing a couple verses of Amazing Grace as you heard it on there. And we'll be dismissed. We encourage you to be back this evening, 7 o'clock, for our evening service. Let's sing it together. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was